God, it's good to be in the Lord's house this morning. It's good to be here with you. And I'm looking forward to this message this morning. What's that? Okay. Yeah, we're at a disadvantage this morning. We don't have any, our CD burner is not working. And so won't be any copies of the message after it's over this morning. But thankfully, we are still able to broadcast, and folks are able to listen out over the internet. And having said all that means is pay attention. If you pay attention, you don't need no CD. Amen. I went to church all my life, and I never got one CD. Amen. Hey, praise God. I don't ever remember getting a CD of anybody. So I heard it. I had to retain it, so it won't hurt you a bit. First Peter this morning, 1 Peter chapter 1. And we'll begin there in verse 13. I want to remind you very briefly of where we've been in this study. We're talking about the blessedness of the Christian life, the blessedness of the spiritual life. And the blessedness is holiness. That you and I, listen, that you and I, fallen creatures, you and I, we're born in sin. You and I who are wretched, vile, and enemies of God have been made the friends of God. We've been made, sons of God, children of God, because of Christ and his atonement that was made for us. Now listen, not only do we have salvation, but we also have his nature. Amen? And in dwelling in that nature, we can have something that we can't even hardly imagine, which is holiness. And it's possible because of the Holy Ghost that lives within you and I. Amen? And because of that, we are going to be able to experience what we're talking about this morning. Amen? Now, let's remember what we talked about before. We started off talking about positional sanctification, or where we are because God has separated us from the rest of this lost and dying world. We are saved. We are his. We are secure. We are his forever. Can't undo that. Nothing can change that. We are his eternally. And praise God for that. But then we talked about daily sanctification, practical sanctification, where the rubber meets the road. And that's what we're talking about. And we're going to continue to talk about until we get done with this section of this study. How do you and I get to where God wants us to be? How do we do it? We talk about it a lot. We say, boy, I sure wish I was a lot better Christian than I am. Man, I wish I stopped doing some of the things I do. Well, I wish this, and I hope that, and I want this, and I wish that. But we don't ever seem to get traction. We seem to do a lot of spinning our tires, but we don't seem to do a lot of getting traction. And we need to figure out what's wrong. Why can't we live holy lives? Well, we're learning how. First of all, we learned that we need to separate ourselves from worldliness. The Bible tells us, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. You cannot be a lover of this world, its system and its ways, and love God too, because one cancels the other out. And the love of the world, here's the thing, God's not going to share. God doesn't share. God is a jealous God. His name is jealous. He says that. Amen. He's not going to share. He's not going to take second place. He's not going to hang around and wait for you to get done. Amen. God is not like that. People are like that, but God is not like that. Now, we talked about that. We talked about then once you get separated. Hey, guess what? You've still got residual dirt. Amen. You know, I mean, listen, you pull a hog out of the mud and separate him from the mud pit, but he still needs a bath. Amen. So you need a bath. You need the Lord to cleanse you. We talked about that cleansing that needs to take place, getting the garbage out of your life. And then last week, what did we talk about? Adjustments. Amen. When you have those aha moments where the Holy Spirit just boom, opens your eyes, the light beams down, and you say, wow, I've been doing this wrong for a long time. I need to get this straight. Amen. It's like getting knocked on top of the head, you know. That's what happens, you know, it's one of them times when you're a kid, you know, when you're doing something you didn't know you was doing wrong, and all of a sudden a swift pop comes on the backside, and you're like, where'd that come? Whoa, I shouldn't have been doing that. You know, God does that to you. He gives you a swift pop, amen. I seen Brother James give Jackson one years ago out here out front. I'll never forget that. He was stepping on the monkey grass, and Jackson got a pop out of nowhere. He wasn't expecting. Amen. It was a wake-up call. Amen. And we need those wake-up calls. Amen. But we're going to talk about something this morning. This is simple. This is so simple it shouldn't even be had to put it into a sermon. I'll just be able to say it and walk out of here. Amen. But we're going to talk about another aspect of sanctification or holiness. And that's simply this, obedience to God. Obedience. For those of you young people, mind. Mind the Lord. Amen. Do what you're told. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 1. Verse 13 through 20, the Bible says, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. I'm going to go back and talk about this in just a second. I'm going to read it first. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. And let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Our Father in heaven, help us now as we come to the Word of God, Lord, to study and learn from it. Father, I pray you'd open our understanding and give us, Lord, that vision, that clarity, Lord, that a moment where we can truly see things as you present them. Lord, I pray that you'd help us, Father, to receive what has to be said this morning. Lord God, I pray you'd give me power to say it. And Lord, I pray as we go out of here, we'll go out of here with a renewed vision, Father. Please help us now. Please, Lord, work on us and do a work in us. And Lord, move us and change us. I pray, Father, for your blessing now. I pray, Father, for sins to be cleansed and forgiven, lives to be restored and set back on the right path. And Lord God, I pray, Father, for someone listening, Lord, who's not saved, Lord, they're not born again. I pray this be the day of their salvation. Father, please help us now. Bless us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right. Let's go back to the first of that. Now, again, the key to that is verse 14. Where he says, as obedient children. Okay? So I want you to, we're going to go back and read this, and we're going to put this in the context of a parent-child relationship. Because God being the parent, us being the child. Amen? So he says, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Okay? Now, you picture people with long garments on, and they're going to run a race. Okay? They're going to have to gather them things and tie it all up around their waist so that they ain't catching their legs when they run. So they girding it up. But I like to try to make it to a modern application. Put your big boy britches on. Amen? Put your big boy britches on. That's what he's saying. He's talking about your mind. Grow up. Grow up. Quit acting like a baby. Quit acting like a toddler. Quit acting like a spoilt child that wants his way or wants her way. But I want to do it my way. I want things my way. And that's what we're prone to do because we're selfish human beings. And God says that we need to get over that. And we need to gird up the loins of our mind. Pull your big boy britches up and let's go. We're doing stuff here. We ain't got time for childish behavior. Amen? Gird up the loins of your mind. He says, be sober. You need to realize the seriousness of the hour. We're not coasting through this thing to the end. Amen? We're on a journey. We're on a mission. We're on maneuvers. Amen? We're soldiers of God. Amen? We're soldiers of the Most High. And so, therefore, we need to be serious. If we can run around here, the devil's going to knock your head off. Amen? If you're not serious. The devil's going to wreck and ruin your life if you're not serious about this thing, about serving God. The devil's don't, he don't play. He's not in this to play. He's in this to destroy. He's in this to destroy you and decimate your life. So you better get serious and get sober about what you're doing. Amen? And he says, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. I can make that simple. Get your eyes on looking for him to come back because he's coming. So in light of that, it's time to grow up. It's time to get serious. It's time to start looking for Jesus. Amen? That's what he's saying. And he says, hey, do it as obedient children. I'm going to tell you right now. When daddy's coming home, y'all have all heard that mama saying to the kids, you just wait till your daddy gets home. Uh-huh. You're going to get it then. You wait till daddy gets here. Hey, listen, that's kind of what Peter's saying, amen? You know what? You better act right because daddy's coming. Lord's coming. Hey, you better get things straight, amen? Hey, listen, and he said, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance. Don't act like you did before you were saved and you didn't know no better. Because that's what too many people do. I'm saved. I can relax now. I got all that squared away. Don't have to worry about that going to hell business. I just go back and live like I want to. No, sir. No, ma'am. That's not how it works. He said, you're not to live like that. Don't you fashion yourself. Listen, fashion. Isn't that a funny word he put in there? Fashion. That's kind of going along with whatever the world dictates, isn't it? The world's all about fashion. And we're not to fashion ourselves after the world and its lost ways. Amen. He said, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. That manner of conversation means in every area of your life, in everything that you do. You are to live in with the understanding that you got to answer to Daddy. Amen. So in everything you do, be conscious of that fact that you need to obey God because he's watching you in everything you do. Amen. The Bible says, because it's written, God said, be ye holy, for I am holy. That ought to be enough. God commanded us. Amen. And he said, and if you call on the Father, if you're his child, if you're a child of God, if you call on the Father, who without respect of persons, and he don't care just because it's you. You ain't no more special than anybody else in here or anybody else anywhere who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, whether you are obedient or not. That's really what it's going to come down to. Were you an obedient child? Guess what? Obedient children get the blessings. Amen? Obedient children get the favor. Disobedient children get knocks on the head and on the backside and don't get the blessings. So don't be a knothead. Don't be a troublemaker in God's household. Amen. Do it right. Obey God. It's pretty simple. He said, he judgeth according to every man's work. He says, pass the time of your sojourning. That means your temporary stay. Listen, this life ain't very long. I'm way over half of mine now. I hope I'm about halfway. I'd just soon be halfway. But I figure I'm over halfway. Amen. And like Brother Ken Barber was saying, you know, hey, you don't realize just how much time you waste until you realize how little you got left. Amen. And so since we're down here on a temporary stay, I mean, we're just here on a temporary pass. I mean, pretty soon we're going to have to go home. Okay? So he said, pass the time of your temporary stay here in fear. Now, that word fear, it's simple. It means a mixed feeling of dread and reverence. Now, I've had that before. When I knew I was in trouble and I was going to get it when he got home, there's a sense of dread, isn't there? You sick at your stomach, couldn't eat nothing if you wanted to. You're sick. You're just sick because you know that belt's coming. You know that paddle's going to get pulled out of the closet, whatever. You know it's coming. I mean, there's a sense of dread. Let me tell you something. You better get a sense of dread and reverence about God. Because I can tell you right now, the judgment seat of Christ is coming. Whether you like it or not, whether you want it to or not, it's coming. Amen. You are all going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and you're going to look Jesus in his eyeballs. And he's going to know everything about you, and you're going to know he knows everything about you. And we're going to have all the time. We ain't going to have time. We're in eternity at that point. So we don't have to worry about time. He's got all he needs to stand there and deal with you as long as it takes. You better have a sense of dread. Because the Bible says, hey, if you don't have any works, you're going to suffer loss. Now, it does say you're still going to be saved, yet so as by fire. In other words, everything you thought was anything is going to be burned up, and you ain't got nothing to show for it, but you end by the skin of your teeth. You end there by the blood of Christ, and that's all. You ain't got nothing else to show for it except that you got saved. Now, I'd hate to think that was me. I'd hate to think that was you. But you know how you can get in that shape? You'd be disobedient. You know how you get up there and have them crowns to cast his feet? You'd be obedient. It's simple. It's simple. He said, for as much as you know you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation. Hey, God didn't have to pay money to save you out of your old dead wicked life. No. Hey, he said, received by the tradition from your fathers. You've done them things because your daddy did it that way, because your grandpa did it that way, because your great-grandpa did it that way. That's the way you've always done it. And the Lord came to save you out of that wickedness. He came to save you so you could be different and changed and obey him. He said he saved you with the precious blood of Christ. That's what it cost. As a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world. Christ was your Savior before there even was a human race. Amen. Now, let's get back to our message. Obedience is what we're talking about. Obedience. And he's, the Holy Ghost of God, is, it gives us this command to holiness. And he gives us this command, and he does it with the understanding of the believer's relationship as a child of God. Again, the parent-child relationship. That's what we're going to talk about. Amen. But I like this quote, and I want to look at this just for a second. This quote says, "The gospel invitation is given to all men, but when the gospel is received, it requires all the man." You get what I'm saying? The gospel is given or extended to all men, but when a man receives the gospel, it demands all of him. Not just part of it. You can't be a part-time Christian and please God. It doesn't work. You got to give him your all. See, when the grace of God that brings salvation doesn't work in a man, it does something to him. It does quite a few things to him. Let's look from the Bible what all it does. I don't know if you're going to have time to turn to these. I got to read them rapidly so we can get to the rest of the message. But it purifies a man's heart, or a woman's, either one. It purifies their heart. James 4:8 says this, "Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded." Now, God wouldn't give you a command to purify your heart if it wasn't possible for your heart to be purified. In other words, all the wicked things you used to love should leave. And the things that you love should be right. It should change the things that you love. It should change your heart and purify it so that it is a heart that beats for God. See, that's what salvation is. When the Bible says, "Behold, all things have become new," well, here's what we're talking about, the new things that happen. Amen? So that it changes you where you can be obedient. You're not what you were before. Amen? So it'll purify your heart. It'll centralize your mind of thought. It'll centralize it. Listen, what I mean, Philippians 2:5, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." In other words, you are to think on the things of God. You are to think with the wisdom of God. Use the wisdom of God. Base your life on the principles of God. Amen? So your thinking is centralized because it's based on what the Bible teaches. Amen? So your heart is to have the right things in it. You love the right things. You to have the right thoughts. Amen? He also tells us whatsoever things are true, whatsoever pure, whatsoever lovely, whatsoever things of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. He wants us on the right kind of thinking. Then where we go, what we do, salvation will change your feet. It'll guide your feet in obedience. Amen. Psalm 37:23 says this, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way." See, when a man gets saved, he's to say, "I don't know where I'm going. Lord, you saved me. I'm your child. I don't know where to go from here. Lord, you guide me. You show me. You show me." Because it's no longer this man's will anymore. It's no longer this man's dreams and vision. All that nonsense that your head and your heart's pumped full of when you're in grade school, and they tell you you can be anything you want to be. Follow your dreams. Live for now. Be all you want to be. No, when you get saved, you don't do that anymore. You say, "Lord, I'm going to do what you want." So God, guide my steps. In other words, you open doors for me and you lead me. You all heard that. God opens one door, he closes another, closes one door, he opens another, and all that stuff. Well, that's kind of what we're talking about. God guides you and brings people into your life and brings you into situations and gives you opportunities and leads you to where he wants to use you, and you can be effective for him and give him honor and glory with your life. Amen? A parent, the same way, sees potential in a child and gently motivates them to go in that direction to be what God has created them to be. Amen? And God does that with his children. He has a plan. Amen? What does salvation do? It fixes the soul of affection. In other words, it puts you in the right, it puts your heart, it's kind of what we said before, loving the right things. It puts your affection in the right place. Colossians 3:1-2, the Bible says, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. See, what things that ought to move you to emotion ought to be heavenly things. The things that stir you and pull at your heartstrings, it ought to matter in eternal things ought to do that, not temporary things. Because this world's going to burn. This world's going to be gone. The things that you have in this life right now, listen, if you lost them tomorrow, you could gain them again. God's able to provide things. Okay? Those things don't matter. Eternal things are where our affections ought to be. Amen? Where a man's treasure is, there's where his heart will be also. Amen? Where your affections lie. Amen? And salvation is to fix those things in the right place. Not only that, salvation captivates the spirit of fellowship. It draws us all together. Amen. Fellowship, what does the word mean? It means we all have a common bond. We all have a common interest. That's why these lost people, worldly people, they have these clubs. They have like the Rotary Club and the Kiwanis Club and the Eagles Lodge and the Moose Lodge and all these. They have a fellowship around, I guess, a moose. I don't know what they have a fellowship around. And I guess around gears and rotors and things. I don't know what they, you know, in the Optimist Club, they're only happy at noon. I don't understand all that. But anyway, the point is, they have a reason to gather. And so do you and I. We have a fellowship. Amen? It's around Christ. We have communion. We have a reason that we can all come together and say, hey, I have the same thing you have. Isn't it great that we all have the same Savior? Isn't it great that we all can have the same blessings? Isn't it great that we're all going to the same place when we die? Isn't it great that we all have the same love poured out to us? Isn't that wonderful? I mean, we can rejoice and we can praise and get excited about. I mean, it's hard for us too, seems like. Maybe it's because our affections are in the wrong place. Could be. Could be because we're not all obedient like we ought to be. But listen, the Bible tells us in Acts 2, 46 and 47, and they continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house did eat their meat with gladness. When they got together to eat, man, they were happy. They were glad. They were excited about what they had in Christ. I mean, when they went into the temple, and you think the temple, they're going to church and all, A lot of the business was done in the outer court of the temple. A lot of the daily affairs was taking place out there. So, I mean, wherever they went in their business dealings, in their gatherings of just the church to eat and fellowship, to worship, they all had something in common. They all looked out for one another. They all encouraged one another. And that's something that changes. And listen, somebody tells me they hate to go to church. I question whether or not that person's even saved. Amen. Somebody said, I don't want to go up there. I don't like going up there. There's a bunch of hypocrites up there. I really would. I'd be really kind of skeptical as to whether or not that person ever got truly born again. You want to be around other believers when you're saved. Amen? You want to be like those who are like yourself. I mean, you get somebody who's crazy about bass fishing. He don't want to hang around with somebody who shoots pool all day. He wants to hang around somebody who throws a line out in the water. Amen? He wants to be around people that can talk about the same things he enjoys. And that's the way you and I ought to be. We ought to love to be around believers. Amen? That's what salvation, it changes you. Amen? Now, it also attracts the eyes of faith. Matthew 6, 22 and 23. The Bible says, the light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. Now, you have to kind of look at where he's talking about. Let's turn over real quick. I'm going to refresh what my thinking on that. Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, and we're in 22 there. He says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourself treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt and where thieves do not break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Just quoted that a while ago. So he's saying, look here, he's comparing those who treasure things of earth versus those who treasure things of heaven. And he says, you know, if your eye be single, in other words, if you're not looking at toward heaven and then trying to look at the glory of the world and trying to look over here at what God's trying to say and then keep looking back over here at the glory of the world. Single. Through looking over here at the world. I'm looking at the Lord. That's what he means by if thine eye be single. Double mind, I'm thinking on this and then I'm thinking on that. I can't make up my mind between these two ideas. Well, if my eye is not single, then I'm looking here and I'm looking there, looking here, looking there. He said, if thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil or corrupt, because you see, you can't be holy and also be worldly. Your holiness is corrupted. Amen. If thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. You're not just, well, I'm a Christian and I'm living for God, but you know, I like to hang out over here and do some worldly things every now and then. You're not, there is no holiness in your life. Don't fool yourself. You're lying to yourself. You're deceiving yourself. Amen. He said, if that light, therefore that light that's in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? And you can't even tell that it's overwhelming you, because when we start being disobedient to God, we're not obedient at all. You can't be a little bit obedient to God. When we turn away from God, we're disobedient. That's plain and simple. Now, let me put this in simple terms. Say a child does something really disobedient, and it's time to take them in that bedroom. All right, lean over. But, Daddy, I'm good at other things. I do right about this, that, and this, and the other. You're still getting licks. But why? Everything else I do right. That ain't going to go. Because we're not dealing with all the things you do right. We're dealing with what you did wrong. And right now, I ain't worried about what you're doing right. I'm dealing with this big thing, which is what you done wrong. And God is going to deal with us the same way. When we're disobedient to him, it's not about all the things we were doing right. It's about what we're doing wrong now. Obedience is obedience. Hebrews 12:1, the Bible says, looking unto Jesus. That's where we're to look. The author and finisher of our faith. See, it attracts the eyes of faith. Salvation is to draw you to Christ. Amen? And not only does it do that, but it uses the hands of service. Amen? Am I giving you too many thoughts? I'm trying to draw a picture of how it changes you. Amen. It changes you. It'll use the hands of service. Ephesians 4:28 says, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing that is good. God gave you hands to do something for his glory. Amen. He says, working with his hands the thing that is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. In 1 Thessalonians 4:11, it says, and that ye study to be quiet, and to do your own business and to work with your own hands as we commanded you. We're not to sit around and just be saved and fold our arms and wait for Jesus to come back. No, we're to be busy doing something for God with our hands. God, when God gets a hold of a man, he gets a hold of all that man, not just part of him. He demands the whole man. And the last one, well, I got two more. It clarifies the vision of outlook. Okay? You need vision. You need to see beyond yourself. You need to be able to see God's plan. Proverbs 29:18, where there is no vision, the people perish. Amen. God says you, listen, if you're not looking to see what I'm trying to show you, if you're not looking to be obedient to me, people are going to die and go to hell all around you. Because, listen, you're here to be a light to their darkness. Psalm 27:13-14. I had fainted, David said, unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Listen, he said, I believe God's going to do some great things. Amen. I have some vision that God's going to do some things. I mean, God wants to use you. God wants to use me. God wants to do great things with me and you. Hey, I mean, that's why he wrote this book. Amen. He's got a plan. He wants his plan to be revealed to you. He wants you to get his vision. He wants you to live your life doing his work. He wants you to be obedient, not run around doing whatever you want to do all the time and thinking it's your life. He bought you. You're his. He's your father. You're his child. Obey him. And the last one of these I have for you is it rivets the ears of attention. Ears of attention. Oh, stand at attention. Listen to whatever God has to say. Amen? Very simple. John 10:27. What did Jesus say? My sheep hear my voice. And I know them, and they follow me. They're obedient. Obedience is taught all the way through the whole Word of God. Amen? God demands obedience. He doesn't suggest obedience. He demands obedience. You see, obedience is important because it does some things. Amen? And I'm going to share with you what these things do. Amen? Obedience, first of all, obedience proves that our faith is genuine. You remember the story about Saul and, you know, he went down there and he didn't kill everything. We've talked about it 100 times here lately, seems like. Every time we preach a sermon, it comes up. But you remember what he said? What Samuel said to him when he came back? And he said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as obeying the voice of the Lord? You said, but I'm religious. Hey, don't get on me, preacher. I sing when it's time to sing. Don't get on me, preacher. I put money in the offering plate. Don't get mad at me, preacher. I bring my Bible. I turn to everywhere you pray, tell me to turn to. I do everything right. Don't get mad at me. You can do everything right. You can do everything. You can be religious, but still not obey God. It's not a grocery list. It's not a to-do list. Amen? Obedience is not... You can follow the letter of the law without following the spirit of the law. Amen? I mean, if I give Jackson a list of stuff to do, and he does it all 5 minutes before he goes to bed because he's sat around all day and done nothing, and I got to get mad and holler at him and threaten to whoop him before he does it, he may have got it done by the letter of the law, but the spirit of the law sure wouldn't follow it. Amen? And that's the way a lot of us act too. Amen? God nearly has to kill us to get us to do anything. And that's a shame. Because we ought to be obedient children. See, obedient, when you just do it, hey, you say, I trust you, Lord, I trust you. I believe what you said, and I'm gonna move by faith, knowing that you ain't going to give me something that's going to hurt me. I know that you're looking out for me, and I know that you love me. So I'm going to do what you said. So it proves our faith to be genuine. Obedience is the way to obtain Holy Ghost power. There's a whole lot of talk about Holy Ghost power. I mean, you can about talk to anybody from any denomination, and they know something about Holy Ghost power. But the truth of it is, if you want Holy Ghost power, it's not by speaking jibber jabber. It ain't by falling on the floor shaking, trembling. It's not by, again, by dress or a certain thing like that. Obedience. Well, let's just look at the Bible, Acts 5:32. Go ahead and turn there. I want you to see it. Now keep in mind, you can't do a blessed thing for God without Holy Ghost power. Nothing. What Jesus say? Without me, you can do nothing. And he left us another comforter, amen, in his place. So without the Holy Ghost, there's nothing you can do. So, obedience is how you gain Holy Ghost power. Acts 5:32, and we are his witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. You want God's power, then obey God. God is not going to bless a disobedient child. It's as simple as can be. I don't know how many different ways to say it. That bad child who's always acting up in your family, again, I'm not going to have confidence in that child like I will the one who's always obeying me. Just not. Not going to trust that child like I trust the one who's always obeying me. Amen? And God is not going to give you power, his supernatural power,
to do supernatural things if you are a rebellious, hard-headed something who won't listen to him. Because if he gave you that power, you'd just mess it up somehow. But if you will get in line with God and realize that you are to reverence him, that you are to fear him, that you are to walk according to his words and not your own, then God will give you the power to accomplish the things that he's told you that he wants you to do. God will give you that power, but only if you're going to be obedient. I'm going to tell you another. You may choke on what I'm about to say, but I'll straighten it out in a second. Obedience is the only way to come to Christ. So wait a minute. You preaching work salvation? Nope. Not a bit. But unless you obey the gospel, you ain't getting saved. Amen. I mean, listen, you got to see things God's way. When God turns the Holy Ghost light spotlight on you, boom, there's your sin. Boom, there it is in living, brilliant 3D color. Boom, there it is. It's ugly. It's going to send you to hell, son. You better get saved. You better see right now how I feel about your sin. When God shows you that, you better be obedient and you better turn to Christ. Amen. God has opened. Hey, you say, well, isn't that works? No, because you would have never seen it if God hadn't showed it to you. You're just reacting to what God showed you. And God says, you need to be born again. You must be born again. And what are you to do? You're to obey the gospel. You're to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. But you can't do that unless, you got to obey him. That's the only way to do it, amen? Hebrews 5:9, the Bible talking about Jesus and says, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all that obey him. That's what he's talking about. The only way to eternal salvation is to obey the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Obedience, it's crucial. It's vital. Obedience is trust in his direction for your life. God will give you direction sometimes, and you can't see the end from the beginning. We're not God. We're finite beings. We're not infinite. So God sometimes will tell you to do some things, and you can't see how it's going to work out. It's called trust. You know, he did that with Abraham, didn't he? In Genesis 22:18, the Bible says, in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. Well, what did he do? Well, in Hebrews 11:8, you hear it. By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out not knowing whither he went. He had no idea where he was going. He had never been there before. Didn't know what was going to be there when he got there. Didn't know how he was going to make it when he got there. He had no idea. All he had was the word of God telling him what to do. And bless his wife's heart. I mean, she went, you know. She uprooted everything she had, packed up all her stuff, and went with him, telling her, we got to move. Where are we going? I don't know. Well, what are we going to do when we get there? I ain't got no idea. Boy, you sure are full of answers, aren't you? I mean, you think about it. I mean, it took some faith. It took some obedience to go and do what God said to do. And listen to me, you don't know where you're going to wind up or what's going to take place over the course of your life, but God does. Thank God he knows. Amen? And so you can obey him knowing that he is going to take care of you and get you from point A to point B. Because he knows what he's doing. He's God. You're going to need to trust him when you can't see what he's doing. Amen. I can't remember the story. There's a story, but I can't remember where it's at right at the moment, where Jonathan he led a charge up a hill, and there was enemies on both sides of the hill, and he went on up the hill anyway because he knew that's what he had to do for the Lord. Amen. And God gave him the victory. Amen. Listen, God's going to give you victory. I mean, when David went down into that valley to face off with Goliath, I mean, he didn't know how it was going to end up. He just knew God was going to take care of him. Amen. When the children of Israel stepped off on the dry land and started walking through that sea, they didn't. I mean, nobody told them how the story ends. They just obeyed. You and I are going to have to learn to walk by faith, not by sight, and just say, Lord, I don't know how it's going to end up, but you've told me to do this. I have a clear indication from your word that this is what you want me to do. I have peace in my soul about what the word has showed me and what I believe that you want me to do. And Lord, I guess I'm just going to trust you and go forward. I'm going to obey you. Listen, I mean, in every little boy's life, there's a day when his daddy, when he's on the tailgate of a pickup truck, his daddy says, jump, come here. I don't know if everybody's, but most. Jump. Come here, I'll catch you. You got to be obedient and say, you know, I trust that you're my daddy. You're gonna let me hit the ground. I'm going to jump. We need to learn to jump when God says jump. And not worry about it, because God's big enough to take care of us. Obedience. It gives us the right to enter into blessing. Isaiah 1:19 says, if you be willing and obedient, you shall eat of the good of the land. Do you know that God wants to bless you? He really does. God wants to bless you. God wants to pour his favor out on you and show other people that, hey, he loves his children. You hearing what I'm saying? God wants to bless you. I'm not preaching Joel Osteen stuff. I'm telling you the honest truth. If you'll be obedient to him, that's part Joel ain't going to mention. He's just going to say God wants to bless you. But God will bless you if you'll be obedient to him. Just say, you know what, I'm just gonna do what he says. It's liberating when you do that. It really is. You don't have, I mean, you cut off all the other stuff that's pulling on you. Just let it go. I'm gonna do what God says, starting now. You may make a lot of people unhappy with me. Well, but God won't be. It doesn't matter what all them other folks think. If you do what God says, God will take care of you. And God will bless you. He wants to. Obedience, not only that, it'll promote your testimony and your influence for Christ if you're obedient. Hey, somebody's got a child that really is obedient. I mean, people like to brag on those kind of kids, don't they? I mean, I don't know how good of a kid I was. I really wasn't all that good of a kid. But I knew how to look good anyway. I'll never forget my grandparents. They take us on vacation. I remember one time in particular, we was sitting in Harrison, Arkansas, eating at a buffet. We just left like Branson, Missouri or somewhere. We was heading back home. And I remember some people come over to the table and they said, y'all, you just have some wonderful grandchildren. They're so well behaved. Boy, my grandma, she looked like a high beam spotlight. She was beaming so bright, you know, because they're bragging on us. You know, people like to brag on obedient children. Because you know why? They see so much rebellion. It's a testimony. Why? How are you able to function like you function in this world today? Pretty simple. I have him. Fellow that works for me, his life is in shambles. And he comes to me crying and talking about all his problems. I just tell him simple. It's easy to fix your problems. You need Christ. You need a relationship with my Savior. That's what you need. That will fix you up, buddy. Tell him all the time. You need to be born again. And you know what? And he sees that because I serve the Lord, God blesses me and takes care of me, that when crisis hits, I'm able to get through it. Whereas he falls apart. It's a testimony. Obedient children have a testimony. And that's what you need to work on. Having a testimony that others notice about you. See God's hand in you. See God's fingerprints all over your life. See God's protection over your life. See God as the shock absorber. That when you hit the potholes of life, you don't come flying out of your seat. Amen? You're okay. Why? Because God is taking care of you. Because you've been obedient. It's a testimony. Obedience is a lesson that the Lord teaches us constantly in the Word of God. You know, Christ was obedient. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 8 says, though he were a son, capital S, son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. As a man, he had to go through it just like you and I do. As a man. so that nobody could ever say, well, you don't know what it's like, Jesus. Oh, yes, he does. You don't know how hard it is, Lord. Yes, he does. You know what it's like to suffer this? Yes, he does. He was tempted in every manner that we have been tempted, yet without sin. He was obedient. And he shows us how to be obedient. He's our example of obedience and humility. Obedience. It displays our fitness for service. It shows us, you know, if I'm going to find somebody to do something that's important for me, I use my children because that's kind of the example we're working on. But if I'm looking, if I got something important that needs to be done, and I need to get one of my children, I'm not going to go get the one who I never can count on. That makes sense, don't it? I'm going to go find the one that always does what I say like I want it done. I'm going to go find the obedient one. Amen? So obedience prepares us. Obedience shows that we're fit to serve. Amen. It's our badge of, hey, I will serve you, Lord. You can count on me to do the right thing. I want to please you. And it shows that we're fit for that service. And it also shows that we're fit to be rewarded for that service. Christ showed us how to do that. Philippians 2, 8 and 9, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Do I think that in his flesh he wanted to be nailed to a cross? No. Do I think that in his flesh he wanted to die? I don't think he wanted, but he died because he died for you and I. Amen? He was obedient to it because it had to be done to redeem you and I, and he wanted to redeem you and I. That's why he came, to redeem you and I. Do I think he relished the pain he went through? No. Do I think that he enjoyed being laughed and mocked and spit on and all those things he went through? No, I don't think he enjoyed that at all. But he did it to show the Father. He did it to show us. He did it to prove his worth as our Savior. He obeyed. He didn't fail in any shape, form, or fashion. He was perfect in his obedience and showed us that we are to lay our lives on the line for God. Amen. Obedient unto death. Whatever it takes, God, I'm willing to do that for you. And the Bible says, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. That's the reward. See, you obey, you do the obedience. God said there's reward to follow that. He set the pattern for us. He's shown us how to do it. Obedience. It's evidence of our love for him. Love is expressed by obeying. Amen? I mean, when a man and woman get married, they take vows. They take vows. They say, you know, I'm going to love you and you only for all the days of my life, and I'm not going to give myself to anybody but you. And I'm going to obey those vows. Amen? If you're obedient, you're not going to cheat on your spouse. If you're obedient, you're going to take care of them in hard times, when you don't feel like it, when you don't even like each other sometimes. You're still going to do what you're supposed to do. Amen? I've seen people laughing when I said that. Amen? Sometimes you don't like each other, but you still honor your vows and you honor your obedience to what you said you'd do. Amen? And the reason we don't like each other is because we're both sinners. Amen? But guess what? God ain't never done anything sinful. There's no reason why you can say, well, if he wasn't that way, you know, I'd do right. You have no reason to ever say, well, but God, he didn't do that for me, or he hasn't been that. You're lying if you say all that stuff. No, God's perfect. And God has never been unkind to you. And God's always been righteous and just with you. God has been merciful to you. God has been far above exceeding merciful to you. God has been gracious to you and kind and long-suffering and gentle to you. Jesus said, if a man love me, he'll keep my words. He'll keep my words. If I tell him what to do, he'll do it. If he loves me. If you're going to do what you want to do and ignore what I say, you don't love me. Plain and simple. Obedience expresses your love. And he said, and my Father will love him. And we will come unto him and make our abode with him. Oh, that's what I want more than anything, is for God's presence to be real in my life. I want to feel his presence. I want to walk in his love. I want his love and his presence to be so real in my life that the devil just can't even get my attention. Amen. It's evident that we love him. Obedience is the sum total of the Christian life. That's what it's all about. It's about obeying God. Obedience is holiness. It is holiness. You find somebody who's an obedient Christian, they're living holy. Amen? 1 Peter 1:22, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth. That's how you get your soul purified. You start obeying God. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. See, you get right with God. You start doing what God says. Then you start expressing the love that God intends for you to express. The love of God can't pour forth from a life that's disobedient. You can't. You cannot please God and be disobedient. If you have been disobedient in your life lately to God, you need to get right with God about it. That's why we have this invitation. That's why at the end of the message we have a time where God's word has been spoken unto you, and God's word's ringing in your ears and in your soul, and the Holy Ghost of God's tugging at you and saying, now let's fix this now while it's fresh on your mind, while your eyes are open, while I've been dealing with you. Let's deal with it now. Let's fix it right now while you're thinking about it. We're quickly approaching that moment. So I'm saying to you this morning, if there's been some disobedience in your life, fix it. Fix it. Come to God. Get it right. Confess it. Forsake it. And walk new. Walk clean. Walk upright with your vision, with your heart in the right place, loving the right things, your hands ready to serve. All those things we talk about, those things ought to be moving and working in your life. Holiness, listen to me. Holiness is not going to be going to a revival meeting. That's not where you're going to get holiness. It's because you went to a revival meeting or a camp meeting. I used to go to camp meetings. Boy, I'd come back charged up. But you know what? I wouldn't come back any more holy than I would go to church, any other church service. Holiness is not even about going to this altar. Listen, God may move on your soul in one of those places, but holiness is not going down to that altar. Holiness is not going to some big meeting somewhere. No, holiness is your soul's response to the Lord's direction in your life. When God shows you what to do and you do it, that's when holiness starts occurring. Now, I want to ask you this morning, has God showed you anything? Has God spoke to you about anything? And if he has, are you going to respond? Or are you going to wait another week and just say, you know what, I'll do that later. I'm going to do what I want to do. You're either going to be rebellious, which is the sin of witchcraft, are you going to be obedient, which leads to holiness? Now, that's up to you. That's up to you. Can I ask you a question? Do you want to be free from guilt and shame in your life? Be obedient. Simple. Be obedient. Do you want God's blessings in your life? I do. Be obedient. It's simple. Do you want God's power in your life to do the things that God commands you to do? Be obedient. It's simple. Be obedient. Let's stand together. Now, Father, we've come to the end of the message, Lord. Lord, I've said all I know that need to be said. And Father, Holy Ghost of God, I pray you'd work in these lives of these folks now. Father, draw us to repentance, Lord, over things that, Lord, we know that are not right. Things we've allowed to creep into our lives. Attitudes, Lord. Desires for things that are not right. Lord, I don't know what all is going on in everybody's life, but you certainly know everything about all of us. And Holy Ghost of God, I pray you'd put your finger on what's wrong. And I pray you'd draw us to the place of repentance. Lord, help us realize that there's not going to ever be anything change in us until we allow you to change us. Lord, we can't manufacture change. It's God-given. Lord, I pray we'd cry out for you to change us. Cry out for you to separate us from ungodly things, Lord, that you'd put a desire in us, Lord, awaken that desire to serve you and please you. Oh, Lord, help us to be obedient. Father, bless the invitation now. In Jesus' name, amen.
When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still, and with all who will trust and there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Not a shadow can rise, not a cloud in the skies, but His smile quickly drives it away. Not a doubt, not a sigh nor a tear can abide while we trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Not a burden we bear, not a sorrow we share, but our toil He doth richly repay. Not a grief nor a loss, not a frown or a cross, but is blessed if we trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. But we never can prove the delights of His love until all on the altar we lay. For the favor He shows and the joy He are for them who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Then in fellowship sweet we will sit at His feet, or we'll walk by His side in the way. What He says we will do, where He sends we will go. Never fear, only trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy but to trust and
Amen.
Well, it was pretty simple. Just obedience is simple. Amen. But it's certainly a part of holiness. And you can't have one without the other. Amen. See, you got separated, you get clean, you get adjusted, and now you got to walk. Amen. It ain't complicated. It's pretty simple stuff. And we're going to continue until we get done with this thought. But I pray that God has shown you and just maybe shook you and said, hey, you're going to have to obey me about this, that, or the other, whatever it may be. And I hope and pray that God will continue to work on us and continue to show us what we need to do to be exactly what he wants us to be. Because that's exactly what I want to be. It's what he wants me to be. Amen. If that's your desire, then you need to keep seeking for it and never be satisfied that you've achieved where you're supposed to be. Because you never will on this side of eternity. It's always a striving for more. Always a striving to be closer to what he wants us to be. We need to always strive to be obedient. Amen. Is any word from anybody before we dismiss this morning?
I want to thank God for healing. You know, I thank him for good Samaritan. You know, I know it's kind of stupid, but I'm really happy I can talk to you. Thank you.
Well,
amen. So stupid,
well, amen. Lawyer
Sunday, you got to praying
for me. Okay. Anybody else? Anything? All right. Well, let's have a great afternoon.
And let's be back here tonight at 6. Will Brandon be preaching tonight? And we'll pray for him as he gets ready to preach tonight. And just pray that God bless. Amen. Let's get up and get out of here and have a good day. And let's go to the Lord in prayer and do some news. Brandon, this is Mrs. Yeah, the Father, Lord, we thank you for this day, Lord. We ask that you would give us strength, Lord, that we can obey you every way. That you would change in our hearts and give us a desire to do the things that you would have us to do. We have to remove our problems, Lord, our desires. We ask that you would rule over those. We thank you so much for your grace and your mercy, Lord. We ask that you would be with us this afternoon. Lord, that you would bring us back safely this evening, Lord. That you would be with us in your service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. You have a good afternoon. We'll see you back here this evening.
Thank you.